anyway, so it's, since it's Christmas season, we've been kind of on a Christmas series in El Dorado on Wednesday nights. And so I'm going to bring my Christmas series here to you tonight. And so tonight we're going to be talking about the wise men. And so I know you all know the story well, but just for the sake of reading the text, we're going to read it. It's in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. If you want to turn there or click there or however you want to do it. How many of you have your Bibles with you tonight? I never forget, Roger Bell used to always, in Sunday school, he'd say, how many of you have your Bibles? If we didn't have our Bibles, he'd say, would you go to football practice without your helmet? Now Jesus said, I don't play football yet. So anyway, I was off the hook. But anyway, so I hope you have your Bibles with you. If not, Brother Lee, if you're putting it on the screen, New King James Version is mostly what I have. It's Matthew 2, verse 1 through 12. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born, king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chiefs and priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them, where is the Christ to be born? And so they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but O you Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go, search carefully for this young child. And when you found him, bring back word to me so that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw a young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. So the wise men. So we're just going to start delving into this. So what the Bible tells us about the wise men, it's very profound. It says they were wise men from the east. Y'all get that? The other thing is, they don't tell us much about the wise men. They don't tell us it tells us from the east, but it doesn't tell us much details. How many there were? Most of the manger scenes, we have three. But the Bible doesn't say how many there were. It's not specific of where they're from. But the Greek word there for wise men is magos. And if anybody wants to pronounce it better than me, do that after service. Anyway, but that means that's the name that was given by the Babylonians, Medes, Persians, and other wise men, teachers and priests, physicians, astrologers, seers, interpreters of dreams. They were educated men. They were men of influence. They were prominent men. This is what most Bible scholars agree on. They were most likely wealthy, and most Bible scholars think that they're most likely astrologers. Okay? And most of them think that they came probably from Babylon. So they came from probably 600 miles away, somewhere around 600 miles away, according to Google Earth, to find this king of the Jews. But they were most likely astrologers. And so that tells me, if the scholars are right and they were astrologers, what tells me is that they were most likely going about their normal, ordinary day as an astrologer, studying the patterns of the stars and the skies, and they were going about just their day, an ordinary day, when God gave them a sign, when God reached out to them. And so that's the first thing out of this story that I want to bring out is that you can be doing whatever you're doing, wherever you are, and God knows how to get your attention. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. We are his workmanship. He knows us in and out. He knows the hairs on our head. He is intricately familiar with how we work. And I want to let you know tonight that God knows how to get your attention. God knows how to speak to you right where you're at. And the thing that really stuck out to me this, and I believe there's probably a lot of people here that need to know this. How many of you have loved ones that aren't serving the Lord, that aren't following the Lord right now? God knows how to get their attention too. God knows how to get their attention too. And I'll tell you what, during this season, you know, it just creates an opportunity to talk about Jesus, to share Jesus. And I really believe that God's heart for us and for you, if you have loved ones, if you have children that are out there not serving him, God wants you to know tonight that he knows how to get their attention. He knows how to reach in and call their name and get them to look His way. And I believe that God just wants us to have faith during this time that those that are out there that aren't serving God, we may need to begin to pray and believe and have faith that they too are God's workmanship and that God knows how to get their attention. And during this time, I just believe that we need to believe for our miracles that God is going to save our lost loved ones. That God is going to save those that we're close to and that we care about. That's the primary focus that us believers should have. Anyway, when we come to Him, to seek and to save the lost. That's the top of the list in God's heart, to seek and save the lost. And I believe today we just need to have a new found faith that God knows how to get their attention. God knows how to reach into their life and call their name. Amen? And so this was the wise men doing. They were going about an ordinary day, and God got their attention. And here's the thing, they weren't even looking for Jesus. They weren't even looking for Jesus. They were just going about that, but He found them. Amen? Amen? And so I just believe, I know people at work I pray that God gives me an opportunity, that God will somehow help me to be a witness. But I just believe, I have a faith right now that God's going to use this time. God wants us to believe that He can do what we think is impossible sometimes. God knows how to turn people around. God knows how to call their name, to get their attention, to call their number. And here's the thing about the wise men. When God got their attention, this... Thanks. Thanks a lot, John. John's holding up a sign back there for me. All right. He just threw me off track. Anyway, but this discovery changed their life. It changed their life. When God gets our attention and we begin to seek after Him and follow Him, it's something that should change our life. Amen? How many of you have found Him? How many of you have found Him? And how many of you did it change your life? When God calls out to us, when we encounter Him, it's something that is life-changing. God never encounters anybody, truly, that they don't come out a changed person. And even after you're saved, every time you encounter Him, I believe it's something that should change your life. Amen? But it changed their life. And if you want to have a relationship with Him, if you want to build an intimate relationship with Him, you know what? There's just some things that we have to change sometimes. There's some do's and there's some don'ts that we have to do, right? Just like in marriage, there's some do's and don'ts if you want to have a stronger relationship with your spouse, right? So, first thing to think about is with a marriage relationship is don't forget your anniversary, all right? Don't forget her birthday. Just a few things here. The answer is always yes, the outfit looks good. The answer is always no, it doesn't make you look fat. And man, you never assume that you're right. And even later, if she admits that you were right, act surprised, okay? Those are just things that you do to strengthen your relationship. And so when you're following Christ and when you're trying to pursue Jesus and search for Him and seek Him, there's just some things that you do and there's some things that you don't do. That discovery and that call should change your life, amen? And it changed the wise men's life. It kindled something inside them that became their passion. Something so special that it consumed them. Now, they didn't have a full understanding of this king. They knew there was a king of Jews, but they didn't have a full understanding of where the star was leading them or what or who it was leading them to. They didn't have a full understanding of that. But here's one thing they knew. They knew that they had to find it. They knew that it was significant and they had to find it. And actually, in that culture, it's a common belief that if someone of significance is born, or if someone of major influence and major importance is born, they believe that there's a sign in the heavenlies. And so they knew that something had happened that was significant. Something that they had to find. Have you ever had something that you just had to find? Have you ever had something that you just wanted to find so bad you weren't going to let anything come between you and finding that? You'd do anything and whatever it took to find that thing. Anybody ever have that? Does it just eat you until you find it? Well, that happened to me Black Friday. It's actually Thursday. I don't know. Yeah, Black Friday's now on Thursday. It's confusing. Anyway, that happened to me. Here's the story. So we were there. There weren't a lot of things that we wanted to find on Black Friday, just a few things. And so Nicole was doing the important things, and I just got to wander around and look for fights and, that kind of thing, see where it was going on, try to find the chaos. And so I walked around for a while, shopping, and I called Nicole, hey, you want this cheap whatever? Sure, okay, all right. So I'm walking around, and we weren't there for any big ticket items or anything like that, but I walked around one aisle. And, there's a big balloon there, the 50-inch TVs and everything. And usually all that stuff is gone, after the first mad rush. And I noticed the lady standing there, she had some red little bracelet things in her hand. And so I was like, oh, you still have some of those left? She said, yeah, we have some left. And I was thinking, you know, Nate's TV did just go out recently. And with his TV out, when his friends come over, if they want to play video games, he either has to borrow Sarah's TV or they have to go play video games in Sarah's room. And none of that works out too well. You know, when you got a teenage girl, she don't want teenage boys in her room and she don't want her brother stealing her TV, you know. And so, you know, I began to sit there and look at this and think about this. See, God just revealed to me that, you know, for the sake of unity in our family, I needed this TV, you know. And so I'm starting to think about this and how this would benefit our family if we had this TV. Because I already had it worked out in my mind. The TV goes in the living room TV goes to our bedroom. Our bedroom TV goes to Nate, you know. And so that, you know, we always pass down the older stuff to the kids anyway. So, but anyway, I had it all worked out in my mind. I was just like, you know what? It just hit me. This is a divine appointment. This is a blessing from God on high right here. I wanted to shout hallelujah right there because I just knew that God was working. Amen. And so I took a bracelet and I said, well, okay, I'll take the bracelet. And me and Nicole, we don't buy anything big without talking to each other, you know. And so I said, well, I'll take the bracelet. No commitment. I checked with her. No commitment if I take this, right? I can not go pay for it. Yeah, that's fine. And so anyway, I said, well, I'll take the bracelet and I'll run it by my wife. And if it's okay with her, then we'll buy this TV, you know, for the sake of the family. And so that we'll be godly Christian family. What Christian husband wouldn't do that for his family? So anyway, so I took the bracelet. Yeah, I went to talk to Nicole. I told her how God had shown the light on the balloon and everything and gave it to her. So she's like, well, you know, that's fine. It's a good deal. And so I gave her the bracelet so she could pay for it. And if it didn't work out right or we regret it later, it's her fault. Anyway, so gave her the bracelet. Long story short, I go on out to the car. Well, I've got the trunk all packed up, stuff in there that she's not supposed to find and everything. And Nate comes out and hands me a few bags, and I throw them in the trunk. And I said, okay, now the TV. She said, you just got to take the receipt around to the back, and they'll give you the TV. I said, okay, great. Where's the receipt? And she said, oh, I gave it to Nate. And Nate said, oh, I gave it to you. I was like, I didn't know you gave me a receipt. Where's the receipt? And so I looked in the trunk where it should have been, and the bag he handed me wasn't there. So I looked all over Walmart parking lot for a couple of hours, and then after deciding that it didn't blow off, it didn't fall in the parking lot, it was nowhere there, it was in the trunk. So I said, okay, I've got to take everything out of the trunk. And so anyway, Nicole said, don't do that here in the parking lot, let's go home, whatever. So I went home, I just had to find this receipt. I'd already decided. I was camping out in the driveway until I found the receipt. I was not going inside without that receipt in my hand. So, you know, I brought a cooler out, some food, some firewood. I was just going to camp out. I wasn't going anywhere. And so, anyway, man, I tore everything out of that trunk. I found stuff that had been missing since last year. But that didn't matter. It didn't matter. I was like, oh, there's that. Where's this receipt? And somehow it had weaseled its way. I know a demon got in there or something. Because it was up under some stuff that had been there for months, you know, and everything. But anyway, I finally found the receipt. But the point is, there was nothing that was going to get my attention until I found that receipt. There was nothing that was going to stop me from getting that receipt. And time was not an issue. I didn't care how long it took. I was going to clean out that trunk until I found that receipt. And the Bible, there's a parable about a woman with a lost coin. It says, if a woman has 10 coins and loses one, does she not sweep the house clean until she finds the coin? But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Jesus wants to be that in our life. He wants to be that in our life that we seek after, that we have to find, that we have to seek after, and that we seek after with all of our heart. And Jeremiah 29:13, it says, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Deuteronomy 4:29. And Brother Lee, if you can keep up. If not, y'all can just jot these down. It says, but from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him when you seek him with all your heart and soul. Proverbs 8:17 says, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Matthew 7:7 says, seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. And Luke 11:9-10 says the same thing. Seek and you will find. Jesus wants to be that position in our life that nothing else can take the place of. He wants to have that place in our heart that we have to find before anything else matters. Before anything else matters. Those nice leather gloves I had been missing, I've looked for them I don't know how many times, but it didn't matter then. I had to find the receipt. Jesus wants to have that place. And we have to get to the point where we're not happy and we can't rest until we find him. Every day. Not just salvation, but every day. He wants us to find Him every day. Because I don't care, you can find a new level of Him every day from now till you die. And you will never discover the depth of God. Isn't that exciting? That He can introduce Himself to you in a new way every day, every hour, and we'll never reach the depth that He is. Amen? He wants us to find Him. And He wants us to be at the place where we won't rest until we do. Where we can't go on with our day until we find Him. Amen? And that's the way it was with the wise men. They had to find this newborn King this heavenly display was leading them to. Seeking Him became their number one priority. Their number one priority. They put everything else on hold. That became their life. Seeking this King that this star was pointing to. And God needs us to make Him a number one priority. But to tell you what else, God's number one priority is for us to seek Him and for us to search for Him. He says He's a jealous God. Exodus 25 said, you should not bow down to... We're talking about, he was telling them, don't carve other idols, don't worship any of the idols. And it says, you should not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. And here's the thing. He's not jealous for something somebody else has. He's not jealous for something or envious of what somebody else has or that something that belongs to somebody else. When it says He's a jealous God, it talks about Him being jealous for things that belong to Him. And God alone, He alone is worthy of our worship and praise. Amen? And He alone is worthy to sit on the throne of our lives. And so when we put something else above Him, we're putting something else in His place. And when we make something else other than Him our top priority, He is jealous because that place belongs to Him. He's a jealous God. He wants to be first in our life. The wise men, they put everything on hold to follow the star. These were important men. Man, these were men that had influence. They were important. They were somebody that society leaned on and trusted in and went to. You know, sometimes we get busy about things that we think are important. But let me tell you what, they were very important and they put everything on hold because they knew there was something significant enough in this that they had to look for, that they had to find. Amen. And their journey was a long, hard journey. You know, they estimated that their journey probably took about 4 months travel time. Now, that's just from my understanding, 4 months of travel time. That doesn't count McDonald's stops, and that doesn't count, you know, Walmart stops or anything else along the way that we like to stop. This was 4 months on camels. Amen. How many of y'all get upset when you have to drive 4 hours in a car? Can you imagine riding a camel for 4 months? I mean, 600 plus miles on a camel? That's ridiculous. But it was worth it to them. It took 4 months. They estimated it would take 4 months to make that trip. And then months of preparation. And it was a trip that was very costly. Very costly. You know, they say that with the roads that they traveled there were known for thieves and robbers, and so people usually traveled in caravans. And they say with the gifts that they were bringing, with the value of those gifts, they most likely had a military accompaniment. And most scholars, a lot of scholars, think they probably had as much as 300 people traveling with them. All the provisions for those. They said it would take months just to get ready for the trip. And then all the provisions. It was a very costly trip. Very costly trip. But you know, David said something in 2 Samuel 24:24. He was supposed to build an altar for this king, and the king offered to give him the material for the altar and offered to give him the livestock for the material. But this is what David said. David said, no, but I will surely buy it from you for a price, nor will I offer any burnt offerings to the Lord my God, that which does not cost me anything. You know, you can see David. The Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. But you can see David's heart in this statement. He didn't want to offer the Lord anything that what didn't have value to him. And if something for him was free and he offered that to the Lord, then he'd be offering the Lord that had really no value to him. And I think that's, you know, David had a heart that he wanted those valuable things in his life, those things that meant something to him, those were the things he wanted God to have. It's going to cost something. Following Him and seeking after Him involves sacrifice. It involves something that costs something. But we got to have the heart like David and say, you know what? God, whatever it costs, nothing is so valuable that I won't withhold it for you, that I withhold it from you. Just like David, we have to just say, yeah, whatever the cost is, whatever the value of this, I give it to you. it's worth it. It's worth it to seek you and to find you. You know, because if you value something and you appreciate something, it means that much more to you. You know, when I was growing up, I had to pay for my own car. I bought my own gas. I paid extra insurance that it cost. And, you know, I valued that and I took care of that. And I'll never forget the time Brian Smith wanted to use my vehicle. And I'm glad he's not here tonight. But, there he is. I'll never forget the time Brian took my Bronco. And I was working at the movie theater. He's like, can we use your car? I still don't know why they barred it. I think he drove around town honking the horn and being rude to people and then thinking, hey, that's that guy that works at the movie theater. But anyway, I'll never forget when he was taking off, he squealed the tires, you know, and I thought, man, tires are expensive. What are you doing? You know, but I valued that, you know, it meant something for me. I paid for it. But here's the thing, seeking God will always require sacrifice. It would always cost you something, but we got to be to the point where it doesn't matter what it costs. Seeking Him, finding Him is worth it. Amen. Paul in Philippians 3:7, Paul had a lot of things going for him in the natural that he could be proud of. But in verse 7, it says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence and of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Amen. How many of you know it's going to cost something to follow after Him? It's going to cost something to seek after Him. But man, nothing compares to the value of the reward you'll find. So here were the wise men, important, influential people, laying everything aside to seek this King of the Jews. All because they knew that something, they didn't understand the fullness of it, but they knew that finding Him would be more significant than anything they could ever do. They knew that finding Him would be more significant and more meaningful than anything they could ever accomplish. So they laid their life down for the pursuit of Jesus. Amen. The gifts they took with them were valuable. The trip was costly. But the first gift they gave to Him was the most valuable. And the first gift they gave to Him was time. Any relationship requires time. And God desires for us to spend time with Him. God invites us to spend time with Him. Psalm 63:1 says, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And Revelation 22 says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. And whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. God is calling us to come. God is calling us to drink from the river of living waters. Amen? God is calling us to come and spend time with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Come. Jesus knew the importance of spending time with the Father. In Matthew 14:13, it says He withdrew in a boat to a desolate place to pray. Matthew 1:35 says He arose early in the morning and went to a desolate place to pray. Mark 6:46 says He went by Himself up to the mountain to pray. Mark 14:32 says is the Garden of Gethsemane. And we know that Jesus went to pray. In Luke 5:16, He says He would withdraw and pray. And in Matthew 6:6, He instructs us to get alone and spend time praying. Amen? Time with the Father. Time in the presence of the Creator of this world. Amen? Man, what an awesome invitation. What an awesome opportunity. But it takes time. And just like the wise men, they gave their time. The Bible says that when they finally got to Bethlehem, it says they were in a house. It wasn't at the manger scene. It was at a house and it was a young child. And most scholars think that Jesus was probably between 1.5 to 2.5 years old at that time. So these wise men, they gave time. 2 years. I don't know exactly when the star appeared, but probably 2 years or so they spent seeking this King. They spent seeking Jesus 2 years. Now, I'm sure the wise men would have thought it was awful nice if they could have just sought Him from 10:30 to 12:30 on Sunday mornings. Or from 5 to 6 on Sunday evenings. If they could just take that time and they find the King. I'm sure they would have been nice. Or from 6:30 to 8:30 on Wednesday nights. Don't freak out. I know it's 7:30. But it didn't. It wasn't that easy. And it's not going to be that easy for us. You know, we've got to get beyond just coming to church and seeking Him there. It's got to be a lifestyle. It's got to be something that we do every morning that we have to do before we go to anything else. Seek him and find him. Amen. So the wise men so far, speaking of time, I'm getting close. But anyway, so the wise men so far, real quick, God got their attention while they were going about their day. They saw the significance of the sign and they responded to God's call. And that's the thing where a lot of things have. A lot of times God reaches out to us. God calls us and maybe we hear him, but we've got to learn to respond to the call. The wise men, they could have said, oh, that's an amazing sign. I wonder what happened. I wonder what's going on. I'm sure it's something important. They responded to the call. They said, I'm going to go find it for myself. And that's what we've got to do. We got to respond to God and we got to find him and seek him for ourselves. Not just wondering what could have been. They sought after the king. They made their search for the king their number one priority and they gave their most valuable gift, time. And they gave as much as it took. I really think if the wise men, and this is my personal belief, if the wise men hadn't found Jesus after 2 years, I really believe they would have kept looking. I believe that they would have given the rest of their life to find this king if it would have taken it. And we got to have that same drive in us. That it doesn't matter how much time it takes. We've got to seek him until we find him. And look, I can be the poster child for failing to seek him. You know, I mean, so many times I get busy and I have to shake myself or allow the Holy Spirit to shake me and say, look, you're not spending time with me like you should. You know, I can be the poster child for that. But here's the thing. I went through a time just not too long ago where I just didn't feel like I could hear God at all. You know, I was like, God, I can't, how can I preach? I can't even hear. I don't know what you're leading, what you're thinking. So anyway, but Brother Jerry made a statement one time. He said, you know what? He said, if those of you that say that you can't find God or you haven't found God, he said, you're not seeking. Because when you read the word, it says that seeking him has 100% success rate. And so sometimes we have to shake ourselves and say, look, if you're not finding God, you're not seeking God. And so I just had to come to a point where I said, God, I'm going to spend time with you. I'm going to seek you until I find you. I don't care if I'm late for work. Now, if you can't do that, I'm flexible. So anyway, but I'm going to seek you. And I'll tell you what, though, but it's a matter of the heart. When you purpose in your heart and you make that decision in your heart that you're going to seek until you find, then I'll tell you what, it didn't take an extra hour for me to start finding God. God honored that commitment and God honors the commitment of your heart. If you seek him and if you seek him with all your heart, you will find him. He will reveal himself to you. He will show up. He will talk to you and he will change your life. Amen. He will reveal himself to you. Praise God. And so there was the wise men. They had committed. They were seeking him. It didn't matter how long it took. They gave as much time as it needed. As much time as it took. And so they followed the star. Now here's the part where the story gets a little confusing. Now, they follow the star. The Bible says, if you remember our text, the Bible says that the wise men came from the east. And it says that they came to Jerusalem saying, where is this king that's been born? Now, isn't it interesting? You ever thought about, they followed the star on camelback 600 plus miles. But when they came to Jerusalem, they had to go ask for directions. And by the way, that's why the wise men are so famous. It was men asking for directions. So, but anyway, they asked for directions. Why? They followed it all the way from Babylon, from what most scholars think, all the way there. And then they came and said, hey, where's this king? Why didn't they just continue following the sign? Why didn't they just continue to follow the star? But here's the thing. They knew there was a king. They didn't understand in depth of this king. They didn't realize it was Jesus, the Son of God. They knew a king had been born. They saw in the scriptures that a king of the Jews had been born. And so here's what I think, and I've read some stuff, and a lot of people think this too, is that the reason they went to Jerusalem and asked where this king was born, they went to Herod. They went to King Herod and asked where is this king has been born, because they knew it was a king. And most people think, and I think too, that they followed the star all this way, and then when they got to Jerusalem, their own reason took over. If this was a king that had been born, why would this king not be of the lineage of Herod? And I think they thought that this king, this baby, this new king had been born. If he was a king, he would have been in the bloodline of Herod. And so they went to Herod and asked, where's this king? It seems logical, right? It seems reasonable. I understand. I get it. Maybe I would have thought the same thing. But here's the thing. It seems reasonable. It seems logical. It makes sense. But that one moment of relying on their own intellect and their own reason resulted in a horrible thing. King Herod, because they had asked him about that, and he became aware that the king had been born, ordered the slaughter of every child, every male child under, what, 3 years old? Man. Just because their logic and their reason overtook, it's so important. Man, it's so important. This shows you just how important it is that we seek Him, that we find Him, and that we become people that are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and that we follow His voice and His voice only. You know, sometimes we just have to silence our own reason. And I know in our lives, there may be things you're going through right now that doesn't make sense. You may have the situation figured out in your own mind, but I want to encourage you today, follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Proverbs 5:6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Who will direct your paths? He will direct your paths. Isaiah 55:8-9, you know, I got to read this one too. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. You know, most of the amazing things that I've seen in my life, any time that God's done amazing things in my life, it was usually things that I didn't understand. And it was usually things that I couldn't have planned out myself, you know? How many times do we stand back amazed and say, God, You worked all this out? I mean, every amazing thing in my life has something that I didn't understand. I couldn't plan. I couldn't have written the script like God wrote it. We've got to learn how to follow and rely on Him and lean not to our own understanding, but follow the voice of the Lord. Amen. I tell you what, any good thing I have in my life, any blessing that I have in my life, any success or any favor I have in my life, it's not because of me, it's not because of my understanding, but it's because I found the King. I found the King. I found the King who is all-knowing, always present, and all-powerful. Amen? And that's what He becomes to you when you seek Him and you find Him. Man, He becomes someone in your life that you can rely on. He becomes something in your life that you say, I don't want to do anything on my own anymore. God, I want You to handle everything. Every time we find Him, we find a new aspect of Him, a new level of understanding of Him. God just enriches your life and builds you to a new level of faith. And I know I always try to slip this in every time I get a chance. How many of you have heard my story about my whale? Y'all heard that already? All of you probably heard it, haven't you? Raise your hand if you've heard the story about my whale. Y'all lie. Y'all forget or you're something. I tried it. But anyway. But man, that was a time when God did something that I never thought He would. I'll tell you. Can I tell the story? I got 2 minutes. 2 minutes. I'll tell the fast version. In college. Okay. Me and Nicole were in college. We had gone home for the weekend. And we were cheapskates and tightwads just like we are now. But anyway. So we had turned everything off, you know, the air conditioner off, everything was off, nothing was running, you know, so we left. We came back, I dropped her off at college, and I went home. And when I got home, I was walking up to the front door, and we lived out in the country, and so we had a well. We had well water. And I noticed the pump was running. And I was like, you know, it shouldn't be running, because, you know, we hadn't used any water, didn't have to fill anything back up. So I go in the pump house and look, and it's running, the pump is really hot, the holding tank is empty. You know, I knock on it and I get the empty hollow, dun, dun, like, that's not good. So anyway, it was a shallow well, whatever, but where the pipe goes down, and took the thing off and rattled it. I could hear the end of the pipe banging around down at the bottom, which told me there was nothing in there. You know, the thing was just banging around the bottom. So I thought, man, we must have left something on. So I walked around the back of the house to check to see if we left the water hose on or something. And on my way around there, this demonic bumblebee stung me. Right in the leg. This demon-possessed bumblebee stung me. And I've always heard that if you don't mess with bumblebees, they won't mess with you. That's a lie. I didn't do anything to that bumblebee, and it just stung me for no good reason. And so I swatted it, stomped it, squished it some more, and killed it again, and made sure it was dead. And then, man, my leg was throbbing. I looked. We didn't have any water hose on, anything. So I go in the house. My leg's hurting. We don't have water in the well, and it's just not a good day. I walk inside, and it's hot because we turned the air conditioner off. And so I'm sitting there. I'm sweating, and my leg's hurting. I put my leg up in the sink to run some cold water on it, and all I get is air. Somehow, between there and the inside, I forgot we didn't have any water. And so anyway, I'm sweating. My leg's hurting. All just blew air on my leg. It didn't help anything. So I just fall back on the bed. It's hot, and I was like, God, why don't You just fill our well? And just like He was right there in the room, it's like He spoke back to me. He said, okay. I'm like, seriously? Really? Did you? Somebody said, who's in here? No. And so, you know, there was, I feel like God said, okay, but I'm human. I need a little help. And so then he spoke a scripture reference to me. Hebrews 2, I can't remember. I should have wrote the reference down. I didn't. But anyway, he spoke a scripture reference to me. I was like, okay, I'm going to go look this up. And if the chapter stops the verse ahead of this, I'm going to be mad. You know, Hebrews 2:8, if it only goes to Hebrews 2:7, I'm going to really upset. You know, how many of you ever done that? Go read John 14:35, and it only goes to John 14:34. You know, I hate it when that happens. Anyway, but anyway, some of the scripture verses, like, I didn't know what the scripture says. I went and looked it up, and there was the verse that said, he who ascended in the heavens is he that first also descended in the lower parts of the earth, so he might fill all things. And so, Bible scholars will tell you that has nothing to do with my well. That has nothing to do with my water situation. But to me, God was saying he's going to fill all things. So I'm like, thank you, Jesus. I'm super Christian now. I closed my Bible. I went outside. I'd already primed the pump a bunch of times. It didn't help. There was no water. I walked out there. I poured a little water in the top of the pump because we had a tank, a little bucket out there to prime it. I turned it on. And I was just like, turn it on. Yeah, it's working. I started to walk out just being Mr. Faith. But I had to stop. I was like, fell to the pipe. The pipe was getting cold. I fell to the tank. The tank was getting cold. You could see the sweat tank sweating where water was filling up. We had water in our well, amen? And it ran until it was full, and the rest of the time we lived there. I'm telling you, the area was known in the summertime. They would have, you know, sometimes the water would just run dry. The wells would run dry. But tell you what, the rest of the time we lived there, we never had any water problems, even when our neighbors were. God filled my well. But that's what God does when we seek him. I wouldn't say I was seeking him diligently. I just said, God, would you fill our well? But you know what? I sought him. I sought him, and he answered. And he said, look, you're seeking me. You're trusting me. He knew my heart. I did trust in him. And when he knows our heart, and he knows we're seeking him, and he knows we're trusting him, then he responds. And he says, you know what? I'm going to let you find me. I'm going to make myself discoverable, just like a Bluetooth. And he says, I'm going to let you find me. And I tell you what, when we seek him, when we commit to seeking him and finding him and don't let anything else stand in the way, God says, you will find me. You will find me. And I just want to encourage you tonight. I want to encourage you tonight. Seek him. Seek him. Seek him. And if you do, I guarantee you, you'll be able to call yourself people who have found your king. Amen. Praise God. Our time is up. Father God, I just thank you for your word tonight. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that you're a God, Lord, as big as you are and as powerful as you are. And that all that you are, God, you still look down at us and say, look, I want you to find me. I want you to experience me. I want you to know everything there is to know about me, God. And you invite us, God, to find you, God. And I thank you, Lord God, that when we seek you, we find you, God. And our lives, God, are changed, God. You cause us to be able to walk in a supernatural life that you called us to. Lord, the more we know about you, God, the more we find about you, God, the more blessed our life is, the more strength that we have, God, and the more power that you have for us to walk in, God. Help us tonight, God, to be a people that seek you and that find you, God. Thank you, Father God. I praise you, God. I pray that you bless everyone here, God, and I pray they would have a great week. In Jesus' name, amen.